You know, that's my guitar. I should get a little bit of blessing from that one in heaven. You know, whenever he picks it up, my guitar goes, finally, I get to play like I'm supposed to play. It always sounds good when he plays that thing. That's a blessing. Thank you, brother, for playing that. Psalm chapter 61, your Bible, Psalm 61. When we were at the leadership conference this last year, there in February, a month or so ago, they had a Spanish choir sing this psalm. And it was one of the most beautiful things I've heard. It was really wonderful. And when they sang it, I looked it up. I was reading through it. And I thought, well, that needs to be the theme for our church, that verse, verse 2. And I thought, eventually we're going to put that on all stationery, put it on everything. We'll put it at the on the sign out front, everything. It says this. It says, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. I thought, what a great thought. I thought about our church when I read it. Lead me to the rock. When I'm overwhelmed and I don't know what to do, take me to that place up there on the hill that's higher than I. And that's where I'm going to get a blessing to get me through the thing I'm going through. I thought about that. I thought about saying it that way. And then I just put that off to the side. And I thought, I'll put that on all stationery. We'll do that eventually at some point. And then this week, I was thinking about Brother Gene and all the stuff that's going on with him and thinking about praying. And this verse then came back to my mind. And I thought about, when I'm overwhelmed, lead me to the rock. And I thought, I'm going to go find that again and look that up. And I was talking to Stacy about that verse. And then I went, opened it up and looked at it and realized that the chapter is about prayer. I didn't even realize it was about prayer. And that's what I was thinking about and really heavy about was prayer. And so it made me go back and relook at this and kind of outline it and think about it a little bit. I'm going to read it to you a little bit this evening, and let's get something from this that will be a help to us. Verse 1, hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings, Selah. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life in his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him. Now, I love the way he ends a lot of his psalms when he's deep and how long, O Lord, those types of things. He always ends it with praise to God. Even before God's ever answered the prayer, he spends time praising God for what he's going to do. And so he does in verse number 8, so will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. I want to look at this a little bit tonight. And then when we get through with this, we're going to have an anointing service, going to anoint Brother Gene with oil. Pray for him tonight. The elders of the church coming forward. The men are going to pray with Brother Gene. And we're going to ask the ladies, if you would, to gather around Miss Loy and pray with her a little bit tonight. And we'll ask the Lord just to bless them. I want to look at this chapter, though, and get something from it for us tonight. The first thing I want you to see when you read this, in verse 1, it says, hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. Now, I can just see, I don't know if you can see this or think about this, but here's David writing this song, and this is a song that he wrote, but it's a feeling of his heart. If you see it that way, he would see him maybe in a quiet place by himself and crying out to God and saying, hear my cry, O God. Now, this is the deal. He's saying, not only hear me, which we know God hears us when we cry out to him. He says, go further than just hearing me. Hear me and then attend unto my prayer. And answer what I'm asking you. He said, I really need this. I'm desperately wanting this. I'm crying to you. But not only am I crying for you to hear me, but I want you to attend unto my prayer. Let me say something to you that we need to do with every issue in our life when we are overwhelmed. He says, from the ends of the earth. I don't think it meant that he had traveled from one end of the earth to the other. I believe he meant that almost symbolically, like I feel like I'm at the ends of the earth. Or you might say, I feel like I'm at the ends of my rope and I'm overwhelmed. The waves have passed over me. I'm overwhelmed. And so he's crying out to God in this situation that he's in. Let me tell you, when you're in a situation like that, what you have got to do is you've got to take the overwhelmed care that you've got, take it to God. You've got to take it to God. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, you know this verse very well, but it says, casting all your care upon Him. Why? For He careth for you. You know those are two different words. It's said the same way, but it's two different words. Care, meaning take all of your anxiety, all of your worry, all of your trouble, everything that's bothering you, you bind all of that up. When I'm overwhelmed, I'm at the end of myself, I'm at the end of the earth, I'm overwhelmed with the waves, gather all that together, and then it says to cast it on Him because He careth for you. It doesn't mean that you take all your anxiety and worry and put it on Him because He has anxiety and worry about you. No. It means take all your care, as in anxiety and worry, and cast it towards Him. He's ready to receive it because He has care, compassion, love, and concern for you. That's the two different cares that are listed there. And that's what we're supposed to be doing. That's why in Hebrews 4 it tells us in verse number 16, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. In this situation he was in a time of need. And if you've ever been in a time of need, or folks, I tell you this all the time. You say, I'm not in a time of need right now. But I always tell you to say this, add yet on the end of it, or not yet. I'm not in a time of need yet. Because there will be a time in everybody's life that you get to a place that you feel very overwhelmed with whatever's going on. It could be a job, it could be a sickness, it could be a trouble in family. All it would take is for sickness to touch one of your close loved ones. And right then at that moment, you're going to cry out to God and say, hear my cry, attend unto my prayer. I'm overwhelmed, I'm at the end of my rope, I'm at the end of earth. That's all it takes. It's just something like that to come into your family or come into your life. And it's at that time that you've got to go to the Lord in prayer. You've got to take it to the Lord. And how do we take it to the Lord? We take it to the Lord by faith. We take it to the Lord by faith. The Bible says in Hebrews 11, 6, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. See, I want to please Him. How do I please Him? It must be by faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must, what? Believe that He is, and that He is a reward of them that diligently, what? Seek Him. Seek Him. We've got to take it to God. You have a worry, you have a burden, you have a care today, this evening in your life. Maybe it's unspoken. Maybe it's something in there. Maybe it's something that's not yet been revealed to you yet. But if you have a worry, what you've got to do with your worry and make up your mind right now is, I'm going to box that thing up, that care, and I'm going to cast it on the Lord. I'm going to take it to God. You've got to take it to God. I don't think we always appreciate how powerful prayer really is. I know there's times that I don't appreciate just how powerful prayer really is. But when you go through and you begin to look at all the things that God has told us in the Bible to pray for and that He promises to answer, it's a huge list. In fact, I looked at it today and I thought I got to carve some of this out and take some of these verses out of here because we'd be here for the next 3 days talking about all the prayers that God wants to answer in our lives. We have to take it to God. I don't think we appreciate it, but God's hand moves whenever you pray. God's hand moves whenever you pray. I wonder how many things God said I would do in somebody's life, but you didn't ask for me to do it. Do you realize that God says for our nation, if your nation's in trouble, what do you do for your nation? You pray for your nation. You pray for your nation's leaders. And in 1 Timothy chapter 2, in verse 1, it says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercession, giving of thanks be made for all men. And then he says, for kings and for all that are in authority. Why? That we can lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Folks, can I tell you, I don't care if you don't like the president we've got right now. What you need to be doing as a person that knows the Lord God, you need to be praying for him. Praying on his behalf. Asking God for what? For him? Because you have a love for him? No, because you want to be able to lead a quiet and peaceable life. We need to be praying for him. Praying for our leaders. And he says that he will do things nationally when we as a people begin to pray. Can I tell you, it brings boldness to those servants that are on the front lines. He just talked about it tonight. We need to be praying for those missionaries that are in these different places, praying for boldness that they'd be able to do the things that they have been called to do. Because I can tell you, being on those front lines, it's hard sometimes to do the things that you've been called to do. We were talking this morning about the missionaries that are in North Korea and getting Bibles and getting things in North Korea and all the things that are going on there. You know what they need? They need the power of God in their life, and that comes from us praying and lifting them up in prayer to the Lord. Taking those things to God. It strengthens the church. We pray for each other as a church. It actually strengthens the church. Paul prayed a prayer in Colossians. He prayed a prayer in Ephesians. He prayed for them in Philippians. He prayed for all the churches that he was responsible for. And this is the prayer he prayed in Colossians 1:9. It says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, of their faith, we do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled." Watch this now. Watch what he asked God to do for this church. "Be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." He says, "I'm going to pray for the church that you have knowledge, that you have wisdom, and you have understanding, and you know exactly what God's will is for you as individuals and you as a church." God's will. And then he goes on and he says this, "that you may walk worthy of the Lord and all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, and strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness." So strength and the ability to walk in him and pleasing him and good fruit and good work, increasing in knowledge, patience, long suffering, joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. That's a prayer for a church. To strengthen a church. It strengthens us against sin. You can actually pray for somebody else and strengthen them when they're about to go through a trial or they're going through a situation. You can actually pray for somebody and they have enough strength to get through that thing. This is what the Bible says. Jesus did it in Luke 22:31. And the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." What you can do, you see a brother or a sister that's going through a situation and you think they're going through a trial. Somebody came to me the other day and said, "I've got a situation in my life and I've got a situation in our extended family's life. Can you pray?" What are you asking for prayer for? That as they go through that trial, they'll be strong enough and their faith will not fail and they'll make it through this trial well on the other side. And when they come out of this trial, they'll actually be stronger for going through the trial. Prayer. Prayer. And then let me say, lastly, under what we don't understand that prayer does, sometimes we don't think about it, is it heals the sick. Prayer heals the sick. Not I heal the sick, but prayer heals the sick. Who's the healer? God's the healer. We're the asker. And in James 5:14, it says, "If any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he hath committed any sin, they shall be forgiven him." This is what we do with the church. We forget sometimes how important prayer is. Take it to God if you've got a problem. Take it to God. And then tell God what you desire. That's number two. Number one, take what you're dealing with to God. But number two, tell God what you desire. You may say to God, and I'm going to tell you, there's nothing wrong with this. You may say to God, "God, you've given me this lot in what I'm dealing with in life. But God, I'm going to ask you, can you take this lot from me and give me a different lot in life?" You can do that. You say, is that bad to do that? Is that wrong? No, we can ask Him anything we want to ask Him. We can come and ask Him. He's our Father. So we have the ability to go and ask Him. In fact, James, in James chapter 4 and verse number 2, it tells us that the reason why we don't have is because we didn't ask. He says, you have not because you ask not. And so you've got to ask. And I want you to look with me. Look at verse number 2. "From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock which is higher than I." I want you to see the first thought is take it to God, when he says, "Hear my cry, O God," but then tell it to God. So he gives some specific things here. He says, "My heart is overwhelmed." So he begins to cry out some things that he needs God to do. And that what he lists here is, "Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." That's an important phrase, and you need to get that. Maybe even memorize that. "Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." I looked at that and I thought about the first thing is the rock. the rock. You know what he was asking? While I am overwhelmed and while I'm tossed about in this sea, can you lead me, God, to a place that is solid, a place that is stable, a place that I can stand on and I can feel good about being in this place? Because I don't have that. And he's, right now what he's saying is, I don't have this. I don't feel very stable. In fact, I feel very overwhelmed. That's how he felt. This is one of the heroes of the faith. And the heroes of the faith is being very transparent in a song saying, I feel very overwhelmed. And he asked God, would you lead me to a stable and a solid place? Lead me to the rock. I need a place that I can be stable and I can stand. We just got through singing the song, where could I go but to the Lord? He says, when life in this world is troublesome, where am I going to go? I want to ask you, this tonight, I'm going to ask you this question. Where do you go when you're overwhelmed? Where do you go? This is one of the heroes of the faith that said, when I'm overwhelmed, I cry out to God and I say some specific things. And here's what I say. Lead me to a stable place, God. Stabilize my mind. Help me. Because I'm not very stable right now. Lead me to a place where I can be stable. Lead me to the rock. So the one thing is, he needs a rock. But then the other thing he says, that is higher than I. Higher than I. I like that. I think that's interesting. Because what he's saying is, lead me someplace that's stable, that's above my own self. That's above my own wisdom. That's above my own abilities. Now I want you to think about who's asking this. This is the king of the entire land. There is nothing that's beyond his abilities. If he wanted anything at any time, all he would have to do is snap his fingers and tell a servant, go get the best doctors in the land. Snap his fingers and say, go bring me enough money to buy my way out of this trouble that I've got. He could do whatever he wanted. He was the king. But what he's saying in this thing is, he says, I need you to take me to a place that's stable, but also take me to a place that's higher than I can go by myself. Because there'll be some places you'll go in your life, and I found myself there at times, that you'll go to some places and you'll feel like, I just don't know, God, but I don't have the ability in me to fix any of this situation that I'm in. And the only thing I'm going to be able to do is, in that first verse, hear my cry, O God, attend my prayer. Lead me to the rock. I need a stable place that's higher than I. But then the next thing I want you to see is, and this is very important, he said, lead me to the rock. I like that part. Lead me to the rock. You know what he asked? He said, get me to a stable place, the rock. But he said, get me to a place that's higher than my own self. But then he said this, I don't even know how to get there. Think about that for a minute. I mean, just let some of these things we're saying sink in. I don't even know how to get there. Say, I just be strong in the rock. That's what somebody would say. Listen, just be strong in the Lord. cry out to Him. He's higher than you. But you know what he's even saying here? I don't even know how to even get to the rock. You know, you've got to be pretty overwhelmed to get to the place that you say, I don't even know what to say, what to pray, where to go, what to do. You say, I know that there's a rock, a place that I can go. I can hide myself in God, and God can take care of me in this, but I don't even know how to even get there. Lead me to the rock. He's asking God to get him to a place. You know what I think about? When I thought about that verse, that might not make sense to you, but when I thought about that verse, I thought about this. I thought about the man in Mark 9:22 that had a child. And that child was being thrown into the water and thrown in the fire. And if you remember the story, the man came to Jesus and he said, Can thou help me? And he asked him, can you help me? You remember what Jesus said? I want you to see it. He said, you don't have to look there, but I'll read it to you in Mark 9:22. He says, and oft times he cast him in the fire and the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. See, can you do something about this situation? Folks, let me tell you something. If you had a child that was going through this situation, you would not just be thinking, oh, well, what an interesting story. You would be right there hanging on every word saying, that's me. I need that. He says, can you have compassion on us and help us? And this is what Jesus said. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Now, we understand that. We understand that. We can say that. We would say amen to that all day long. But you know where we find a lot of where we find ourselves sometimes, especially when we're overwhelmed. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief." You know, that's to me, when I read this, "Lead me to the rock," there are times, I'm going to be honest with you, there are times that I feel very strong in faith. But if you would be honest tonight, and I think you have the desire to be honest with yourself and with God, there are times that you feel very low in faith. There are some times that I feel very depleted in faith. I just feel like I'm not as strong as I could be in faith. Maybe there's been some things that's happened that I've felt very weak in faith over something that's gone on in my own life, my own prayer life, or an unanswered or a waiting type of thing. But sometimes we go through moments where we feel very weak in faith. I think you would agree with me when I say that. He says, "Help mine unbelief." And the disciples said in Luke 17:5, the disciples said to him, "Lord, increase our faith." They needed an increase of their faith. And let me tell you, sometimes that's the case. And I want to show you something with you tonight. I want you to see is some of the many examples in the Bible of where God was involved in the prayer life of people. And I want you to get these. We won't turn to all of them, but I am going to mention them. And I want you to see some things, because sometimes we get a weird view of what prayer life is like and what prayer and asking God is like. But I'm going to tell you, there are times in the Bible when God has made a decree that He is going to do something. Okay? And man, through faith, asking God and telling Him exactly what he wanted, has changed the outcome. You say, I didn't think that was possible. It's happened. It happens. There's a spot where Moses with Israel, and God told them, and I don't believe God makes idle threats. God told Moses, "I'm going to kill everybody and start over again with you." Can I ask you a question? Is God capable of killing everybody and starting over with a few? Did he not do that at least one other time before? All right, so he could have done what he said he was going to do. Could have done it. And Moses asked, "Would you not do it?" And God said, "Okay." So there are times that God has made a decree that he was going to do something, and man has asked God, taken it to God, asked God, and God said, "Okay, we'll do something different." That's the power of prayer. Hezekiah, in 2 Kings chapter number 20, in verse 1 through 7, Hezekiah was told by God, Isaiah, to go to him and tell him, "You're going to die." So he went to him and told him, "You're going to die." And what Hezekiah did, when Isaiah left the room, and he goes down, I'm imagining, some stairs, he's headed for the courtyard, Hezekiah turns himself to the wall, he begins to cry in tears, remind God of his relationship that he's had with God, and ask God to give him more life and spare his life. And before Isaiah even makes it out of the courtyard, remember, God has said he's going to die. Before he makes it out of the courtyard, God said, "Stop, Isaiah. Turn around and go right back up there. You've got to tell him something different now. I've given him 15 more years onto his life." You see, we can pray and see amazing things happen with God. So sometimes, I want you to get this now. I want you to see it. Sometimes when we pray, it changes the outcome. Okay, let me give you another one. Sometimes when we pray, it does not change the outcome. In 2 Samuel chapter number 12 and 15 through 23, David has got a baby that's dying. And David, for 7 days, fasts and prays. And his servants see him fasting and praying while the baby's dying. And then when he gets to the end of that and they come and they tell him the baby has passed away, then David rises up and he begins to eat. And remember, they said, "This is a strange thing that we see here. He fasted while the child was, you know," I would think it'd be the other way around. He'd grieve and not eat after the child has died. But you know what David said? David made this statement. He said, after the child was died, he said, "I cannot break." When he fasted while the child was sick, he said this: "You never can tell that God may do something different." He was going, but just by the same thing as before with Hezekiah and Moses and Israel, you never can tell. You can ask, and God could do amazing things because you asked it. But then, God may still do what He said He was going to do anyway, in spite of you asking it. And this is what David said at the end of it. He said, "You know what? I can't go to where he's at." And he said, "I can't bring him back to where I'm at." He said, "You know what I can do? I can go to where he's at. You say, well, he just meant he's going to the grave. I believe he was looking a whole lot further past the grave. I'll be where that child will be someday. He still had a hope in that. So sometimes prayer changes the outcome. Sometimes it does not change the outcome. I just want you to get a proper perspective of God. And then there's times that when you go through a situation, you pray in faith, taking it to God, that God says, my grace is sufficient to see you through what it is. I'm not changing it. I'm just giving you the grace to see you through it. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7 through 10, that's what Paul did. Paul said, I asked three times if God would take this thorn of the flesh away from me. And God said, my grace will be sufficient for thee. So he said, I'm not going to take it away, but I will give you the grace to make it through the thing. And sometimes we don't see what God's doing, but God has a bigger picture than what we see and what's going on. And sometimes we look at something and say, God, I don't like what's going on. And God says, yeah, but you don't see the bigger picture. I will work this out for good. You might not, in your limited view of what you see, you can say, how can this be good in any way, shape, or form? And God says, but I'm looking at it from this point of view, and I can see that this will work out for good. And it will work out for my purpose. I'm just giving you an idea of how God works in the Bible. And there are times, let me say this, there are times when the person that received the blessing had zero faith. Zero faith. You know who had the faith? His friends had the faith. In Mark chapter number 2, in verse number 5, remember there was a man that was being carried by four people. And they were having having a church service like this, and all of a sudden the ceiling tiles started crumbling above them, and they thought, well, the rain has finally messed it up, and it's finally going to crumble down on top of us. And they hear all the peeling of the roof back, and lowered down, because it was so packed in there they couldn't get in, lowered down was these four men lowered down on a bed, their friend, who had the palsy. He lowered him down on the bed. And you know what Jesus said? Mark it in your Bibles if you ever go back and look at it. Jesus didn't say, well, because of this man's great faith, I will heal them. He said when he saw their faith, he said to the man that had the palsy. Sometimes you can say, well, if this guy, if Brother Eric would just have faith, then he could be healed. Brother Eric may have zero faith, but those four people sitting around him may have great faith, and God answers the prayer on their behalf for him. Faith. Faith. I'm just showing you how God sometimes works. And then sometimes you may hear, just wait. Just wait. Abraham was told, you're going to have a child, but wait. Wait. And sometimes you hear that. Sometimes the answer is, I'll change it. Sometimes the answer is, I'm not going to change it. Sometimes the answer is, my grace shall be sufficient. Sometimes you'll see that the person has no faith, but somebody around them has great faith. And sometimes the answer is, just wait for the answer. But I want you to see the last thing. Look at verse number 3. This is what he said. For thou hast been a shelter for me. Underline, if you want to, in your Bible, hast been. Has been. You know what he did? He looked back at the past and how good God had been to him in the past. And he said, for thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. The last thing is, the first is take it to God. The second thing is tell him what you need. And the last one is this, and you've got to get this one. Trust him with the outcome. Trust him with the outcome. Because what he says there, for thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. So he's saying, I've looked at what you have been in the past, and therefore, in verse number 4, look, I will abide. So you have been, so I will abide. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will, say the next word, trust. I will trust. So you got to take it to God, you got to tell him what you need, and you got to trust God with the outcome. You say, what's the outcome going to be to any of the prayers that we pray? Well, we take it to him. We take it to him by faith. And we tell him exactly what we want. And we sometimes get the answer of, wait. Sometimes we get the answer of, this thing will be changed immediately. Sometimes we get the answer of, this thing's not going to change. Sometimes we get the answer of, my grace will be sufficient. You don't see the bigger picture, but I'm doing something here. And sometimes we get the answer of, just wait. I'm doing something in the future. But in all those places, you know what you've got to do? Trust God for the outcome. Trust God for the outcome. And he says something here that I think is interesting. And I want you to just look at these few little things here. He says, for thou hast been a shelter for me. And watch, a strong tower from the enemy. I thought about those words that he listens. He lists a strong tower. He lists the tabernacle. And he lists the wings. I think he does that. I don't think anything's there by accident. And so when he says it, he says a tower. You know what I think about with a tower? I think about a tower. If the enemy's coming, if I have trouble and I climb up in a tower, the tower is a great place for great, what, perspective. I can see. I can see. And he's saying, I'm in a place where I'm overwhelmed. I don't know what's going on. I can't see what's going on. So he says, lead me to the rock. And the rock is like a tower that I can look through his perspective and see things more clearly. In Proverbs 18:10, it says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. That's Proverbs 18:10. Can I tell you what Proverbs 18:11 says? Watch this. The rich man's wealth is his strong city, and as an high wall is his own conceit. You see, the prideful person, the rich man, he runs into his own ability to do something and hides there. But we, as the children of God, we run to God, and He's our high tower. And we rest in His name and who He is. And through His eyes and His perspective, we see it in a better way. And that's what we have to do. Folks, can I tell you, the Bible tells us that if we are the children of God, He tells us very plainly that all things work together for good to them who are the called according to His purpose. Listen, are you the called? Are you saved? Are you the called? Who I'm called? I'm called to be a Christian. I'm called in His name. So now I run to His name and I trust Him in His name that He's got the bigger picture figured out. I trust in Him. I take it to Him. I tell Him what I need. And then I trust in Him. I trust in Him as my tower. I trust Him as the tabernacle. He says, I'll abide the tabernacle forever. There's many ways you can look at that. But the first one is a place of perspective. The second one is His power. You know where the tabernacle is? The tabernacle is the place where the Holy of Holies was, where God's power rested in that place. You know, I believe personally what He's saying is here, I will rest in your perspective of what's going on. I'll trust in it, but I'm also going to trust in your power to take care of what's going on. I'll trust in your power. In Ephesians 6:10, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. The power of whose might? Power of His might. And then the covert of His wings is what He says there. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. The wings of covert is they cover with the wings. And then finally, I think about His protection. Folks, when we're going through a hard time and you say, I'm not going through a hard time, can I just get you to say yet on the end of it? What you need to do is you need to cry out to God. You take it to God, tell God, and then trust God. You say, it's so simple. It is. We don't do it. Take it to God. Tell Him specifically what you need. And then trust Him to take care of it. That's what we're supposed to be doing. David said, in the midst of that prayer, in the midst of that time, you know what? I trust God. You know, I said it. He said, I can't bring Him to where I'm at, but I trust God that He will take me to where the child's at. You know what that was? Trust. That's trust. When Paul said, I will glory in my infirmities, for when I'm weak, then I'm strong. You know what he's doing? He's saying, God told me His grace will be sufficient. So what I'm doing is trusting. Trusting. And that's what we're supposed to do. Trust in who God is. And what God said He would do. Abraham was told to wait. You know what he had to do? Trust. Trust. I want you to look with me just lastly here. Look at James chapter number 5. James chapter number 5. James chapter 5. I want you to look with me in verse number 14. Just see this. We have situations in lives, people in our church, you say, what do we do? I'm overwhelmed. I don't know what to do here. Well, let me tell you what you do. You take it to God. You tell it to God. And you trust God. And this is what it said. Look at verse number 14. James chapter 5. Is any sick among you? This is what it says. Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sin, they shall be forgiven him. Tonight, what we're going to do, I want to just read to you a few out of a promise book. I don't know if you ever have these little promise books. I'm going to read you a few promises on prayer out of the promise book. And then when we get through, I'm going to have Brother Gene come up here and sit up in the front. And then the men are going to come down here and pray with him. And then leave Miss Loy there, and the women can come down there and pray with Miss Loy. But I want to read you a few verses that are important. Matthew 21:22, it says, "And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive." Promises. 1 John 5:14 and 15. "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desire of him." In John 14, 13 and 14, it says, "Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, for the Father may be glorified in the Son, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." John 15, 7. "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you." In Psalm 91, 15, "And call unto me, and I will answer him." In Psalm 145, 18 and 19, "The Lord is nigh unto him that calleth unto him. To all that calleth unto him in truth, he will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them." In Jeremiah 33, 3, this is the last one, I want you to get it. "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Jeremiah 33, 3. Folks, I want us to pray tonight. But we only want you to come and pray if you'll come and pray in faith, asking God. Because what we're doing tonight, we're doing exactly what Psalm 61 said. We're, by faith, taking it to God, telling God, and trusting God. So, Brother Gene, if you would you come up here and just sit up in the front? You say, "Did y'all choose this out to do this?" No. What the verse said is, if someone asks, let him ask, let him call. Brother Gene asked. And we're going to do it. And we're going to pray in faith. So I'm going to ask him just to sit right up here. You can turn that around. Yep, there you go. And then Miss Loy, you can just stay where you're at. And the ladies can just go and gather around her. And what we're going to do now, if the men will come, all the men that will come, that will come, you can come up here and gather around him. Let me get in there a little bit.